Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The Aaron Hernandez story, as I mentioned at the back end of last hour, is a sad, tragic, fascinating. There's a lot of adjectives you can use to describe it. Kevin Duffy covers the Patriots for Mass Live, and I thought had a great post talking about the latter days of Aaron Hernandez and just what he was looking at going forward. You know, the fact that the last month or so spent in a courtroom was maybe the best month he was going to have for the rest of his life, considering who he was interacting with, and that he wasn't in prison. He was in a courtroom, actually talking to people outside of prison and things like that. Pretty depressing place to be. And Aaron Hernandez takes his own life this past week. I mentioned Kevin Duffy wrote about it. I wanted to get him on the show to talk about it. He joins me right now. Kevin Duffy joining me on CBS Sports Radio. Kevin, happy Sunday evening to you. Appreciate you making a few minutes. How are you?
Good, Sean. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Good to have you, man. So in your mind, you know, now that, and obviously there's still, even post the suicide of Aaron Hernandez earlier this week, there's still a lot of things that are being hashed out from a legal standpoint, and certainly this is, you know, this is never going to be over for the families that are involved in this thing. But what's the most remarkable part of this story to you, of all the layers involved? What's the most remarkable part of this Aaron Hernandez story?
That's a great question. I don't know if I've really thought about it in that context, just because it was wild for me, because, you know, I had covered both of the trials, and I remember watching him in 2015 when the guilty verdict came in and he kind of fell into his seat and his lawyers were patting him on the back. And it was a scene in the courtroom that I'll never forget. And I would say that even this past trial, which didn't receive a ton of media attention until the verdict, just because, you know, the stakes were pretty low. Of course, the families of the victims wanted to get closure and wanted a guilty verdict returned. But for Aaron Hernandez, the trial, it didn't really mean much. He was in jail for life without parole. So I always, when I was watching him in that trial in his last 5 days or so of his life, It always struck me just how happy he seemed to be to just be in the court. Kind of the things you said before you brought me on, that I wrote about, it just always struck me he loved when he saw his lawyers. There was one of his lawyers in particular, Harvard Law lecturer Robert Proctor. When he saw this guy in the courtroom, it was as if it was his brother. It was like as if he hadn't seen his brother in months. That he just was so happy, he was beaming to see these people. And I thought, you know, the opportunity for him to just get out of jail and wear a suit and kind of feel important wearing a suit and talking to lawyers, and I just thought that he genuinely enjoyed being in the courtroom. And to, you know, once that was over, there was none of that left, and I think he was just staring at the rest of his life thinking, what happens now? So I guess the most remarkable part, to me, just having been there, was just watching him and seeing it, you know, seeing how he had acted in those final days. I think to most people, the most remarkable part, of course, this is certainly part of it, it's just the overarching story, just where he started and how quickly it all fell apart for him. I think, you know, and that's a simple answer, but just the arc of the entire Aaron Hernandez story is one that I don't think we've ever seen in sports before.
Yeah, Yeah, it's and especially when you juxtapose that, Kevin, I'm talking to Kevin Duffy of Mass Live, you juxtapose that to the fact that in the exact same draft class, at the exact same position, on the exact same team, was drafted a guy who I think everybody would probably trade lives with Rob Gronkowski, and I think at the end, nobody would trade lives with Aaron Hernandez. Speak to that. I mean, just the fact that two guys that couldn't be more polar opposites, and not in any sort of even ha-ha kind of way. I mean, like some serious kind of ways, wind up on the same team at the same position, just that dichotomy of those two.
Yeah, and that could have, you know, what I thought was interesting was having read Dan Wetzel's column from Yahoo after Hernandez committed suicide.
Yep.
Obviously, an excellent column. Dan pointed out that Hernandez had, he would make small talk with some of the court officers, with his lawyers, about present-day things, about like NFL rumors and news, about Tim Tebow attempting to play baseball. So that was interesting to me because I didn't know how connected he was to what was still going on in the world that he departed from and had, you know, spent his past 4 years in jail. I think if you read Dan's column, it's kind of clear that he was at least still paying attention to those who are in the world that he used to occupy. And that's got to be something that deeply bothers you. And so I'm sure, you know, I'm sure he was aware that the Patriots were headed to the White House, and you know, Gronkowski is making his, what would be his second White House trip, and they're meeting the president. They just won two Super Bowls. There's no way that that doesn't, when if you're reflecting on decisions you've made and where you've landed, where your life is at, I think that that certainly would weigh on someone. I think it's inevitable that he thought about those things.
Yeah, Kevin Duffy, Mass Live, joining me, covers the New England Patriots. He's a Patriots beat writer for Mass Live. Kevin, let's flip that over to the Patriots for a second. As someone who covers the team, I know that on the day they went to the White House, they said, we're not going to have any comment on this. In general, just in covering the team over the last couple years, with Hernandez being a topic that's been out there since 2013, how has the team handled him from a storyline standpoint? How have they handled him? And from your knowledge, have they done anything as far as you know about how they go about assessing guys now coming into the organization? Do they have a higher or lower threshold now maybe for some off-the-field stuff that maybe they didn't before because of Aaron Hernandez?
Well, I don't think that they publicly... So when Hernandez was first arrested, before he was even convicted of the Odin Lloyd murder, Bill Belichick delivered a press conference, and actually this is before I covered the Patriots, but I had happened to be at that press conference anyway, and Belichick basically said that the Patriots are always continually going to be trying to make their evaluation process the best it can be. I think when you draft someone with red flags, which they did with Hernandez, I don't think you can ever anticipate exactly what he would end up becoming. But having seen what happened with him, I'm sure they're a little more careful and really think about, okay, is this really worth the risk? Because from a PR standpoint, that's having a guy on your team that is convicted of murder is obviously the biggest nightmare you can have from a PR standpoint on a football team. Now, in terms of how they've handled the storyline, there really hasn't, you know, when he was convicted in 2015, a few players commented during media availability sessions that spring, and it kind of died from there. No one from the Patriots has commented since Aaron Hernandez committed suicide in prison. Belichick won't speak with reporters until, I believe, the second day of the NFL draft, so perhaps he's asked about it then. But they've really done their best to distance themselves from him and kind of erase any memory there was that he was even part of the franchise. They're not going to be able to do that. I mean, some of us who cover the team still write about him and wrote about the conviction, the acquittal, his suicide, and people. It's obviously a newsworthy subject, but the Patriots tried to not comment and not get involved with any questions Aaron Hernandez related.
Yeah, the over-under on the number of seconds Belichick's answer will be when he's asked about Aaron Hernandez for the first time. I'll put it at 2.5 seconds. Do you go over or under?
Yeah, I'll go over. I would say in the last probably 6 seconds.
Okay, so slightly over.
There'll be like a 3-second pause before he answers, so I don't know if that factors into it.
You know, pause counts. It's from the time the question ends. So, Kevin Duffy, Mass Live, joining me on CBS Sports Radio. Hey, non-Aaron Hernandez question for you while I have you, Kevin. Do you think there's any movement with Jimmy Garoppolo between now and Thursday with the Patriots?
No. I think it's still possible, but the longer it goes on, I don't know. You know, the only team I think that, unless some team is really desperate and is willing to offer a lot of future picks, I think the only team that really has enough that would entice the Patriots would be Cleveland, who the Browns own 8 picks in the top 2 rounds in the next 2 years. So there's a chance that Cleveland, at the last minute, gives the Patriots, you know, comes over the top with an offer they haven't previously put on the table, and that gets something done. But if I'm looking, probably I would bet strongly toward no on Jimmy Garoppolo. The more interesting one to me is right now is Malcolm Butler, because I think there's a probably about a 50-50 chance that he's moved, having signed his tender, and obviously he had visited with the Saints during the restricted free agent process. So I think the Patriots could move back up into the first round at that number 32 pick if they work out a Malcolm Butler trade with the Saints. But the way the offseason has played out, and the fact that some of the most plugged-in reporters, Adam Schefter, Peter King, Ian Rappaport, those guys are somewhat convinced that Garoppolo is not going anywhere. So I don't, right now at this moment, I would not anticipate a Jimmy Garoppolo trade.
In your opinion, if something were to happen to Brady early in the season and Jimmy Garoppolo takes over as a quarterback there, I don't want to project out like what happens with Tom Brady for the future going forward. Is a Jimmy Garoppolo quarterbacked Patriots team in 2017 good enough to win the AFC?
Based on the small sample size we saw a year ago, granted it was only 6 quarters, but yeah, I think that they'd have a chance because the team around him is so good. So they probably improved since the Super Bowl last year, which is just an insane thing to think. But they went out and got Brandon Cooks, they got Stephon Gilmore. Who knows? We'll find out in a couple of days if they're still going to have Malcolm Butler on the roster. But I think that Garoppolo showed the tools of being a legitimate quarterback in the NFL. So I would say that there's a chance for them to definitely compete in the AFC. If you look at who's the second best team in the AFC right now, possibly Pittsburgh, maybe. And you saw what happened to Pittsburgh when they came up to Gillette in the AFC championship game a year ago. So without question, and that's probably part of what you said, is probably part of the reason why they're holding on to Jimmy Garoppolo in the event that does happen, that they still give themselves a chance. Because I don't know if they would have that chance if it was Jacoby Brissett in the second year.
Yeah, and that's why I asked the question. I figured it's kind of a soft AFC still, so I think if you feel like Garoppolo still gives you a chance if something were to happen to Brady, you're almost committing malpractice by moving him, regardless of what the package is. Kevin Duffy, at Kevin R. Duffy on Twitter, and you can catch his work. Covers the Patriots for Mass Live. Great piece, as I mentioned, on the follow-up of the Aaron Hernandez saga from this past week. Kevin, I appreciate you making time, man. Thanks very much. We'll do it again soon.
Thank you, Sean. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. Kevin Duffy joining me here.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.